Are you enjoying our new piano? I am. Tremendous stuff. In Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, that first line is the title of this message. Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, remember and forget not. Remember and forget not. More than 20 times. More than 20 times in the book of Deuteronomy alone, the Lord tells us to remember and warns us, forget not. Gives us five times in Deuteronomy 8. Five times. He gives us blessings we need to remember. Bless the Lord. I quote Psalm 103 a lot, don't I? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. That's the purpose of this message, so that we might remember the blessings of the Lord. And then there are dire warnings, dire warnings. We should have read that passage. Indeed, I hope we did. Read it with fear and trembling. Blessed is the man who trembles at His word. Dire warnings about forgetting God, and the reason, the prominent reason why we do. Did you notice that? Okay, let's look at it. Verse 1, He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day, all shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. Live and multiply. Commandments I give thee. Now, we talked about this Wednesday night, didn't we? We talked about these very things Wednesday night. Eternal life is not in us doing anything. Eternal life is in the doing and the dying of Jesus Christ. Those are short words for His righteousness and shed blood. His doings and dyings. That's what one old writer used to say. His doings, it's all in His doing and dying. Salvation, eternal life, is in what Jesus Christ did for us. His doings and His dying. But do you remember He talked about life more abundant? Right here it says multiply. Joy. My joy. Talked about peace. Peace of God and peace from God. You remember that? In Matthew 11 He talked about rest. Come unto me all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Two different types of rest. Abundant life. Blessings of this life. We want to do more than just exist in this life, don't we? We want the life of Christ. We want to abide in Him. Terry, I was amazed by that passage you were reading. I think in light of these verses, it came out more clearly to me than ever. Christ talked about the manna, John 6, eating the manna, which is Himself. He said, you'll live. You abide in me and you'll live. Eat this and you'll live. Never die. Abundant life and the blessings of this life have something to do with obedience to Christ's word. We talked about guilt, shame, poverty, weakness, stunted growth to the careless and indifferent, the disobedient, But here he says, eat or observe and you may live. Same thing, eat, digest. When you eat something, really eat it, digest it, it comes out. It has energy. Well, let's look back at chapter 6. Look at these commandments. He says, all the commandments which I command thee, do. Observe to do, that you may live and multiply. Let's look back and see some of these things that he gave, all right? Briefly. Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Now, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son, thy son's son. Oh, may the Lord teach my daughter the fear of the Lord. All the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Is this law binding on us? This is one of the Lord's commandments, his law. Is this binding upon us? That we want to be under the dominion of this law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Do you want to love the Lord with all your heart? Yes. Most certainly. Not to be saved by, but to live life more abundantly. The life of God. The life of Christ. Love the Lord thy God. And one old fellow said, one love canceleth out another. Love God, your love and passion for other things will diminish. I want that. Don't you? I want that. All right, read on. He says in verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Words in thine heart. God's word. David said, God's word to me when I found it, he was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Wasn't just a little verse of scripture that I memorized and quoted every now and then, or heard preached at the funeral, or when we got in trouble, or before a ball game. It was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The word, God's word in our heart, shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. This is a command. Here we have a man up here with his little daughter here. How old is Anna Rip? 4? How old is Lauren? Mary, how old is Lauren? 4, okay. She acted like she forgot. 4 years old. You have them sitting here. That's what the Lord said to do. He commanded this. That's his law. And those who are even younger. You know how many babies are down in that nursery right now? It's a 15 by 30 nursery. With how many beds do we have now? 4? 4 beds? Well, boy, there's one little precious bundle down there. One little red-headed bundle down there. And that whole nursery is worth it. So this woman can sit up here and hear the gospel. Right? What the Lord said, do. Just as soon as they're, bring them. Look at it. Teach them diligently unto thy children.
Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What house is that? Well, at home, but if we're not going to do that. I know a house where he's going to be talked about. I know a place where we can bring them, and they're going to hear him talked about. Right? When you sit down. When you walk by the way. When thou liest down. When thou risest up. This is a good thing. You're doing a good thing. I was my father's son, my mother's beloved. That's what Proverbs 4 said. Dearly beloved in my father's eye, Hannah. I was loved of my father and mother. And they taught me. They had me sitting. This little girl's in just about every service we've ever had. She may think it hard at times. Some may think it cruel. But so was I. And now here I stand. And there my sister stands. And that's where I want to stand. And that's where I want her to stand. And so I'm going to teach her from a child the scriptures that are able. There ain't nothing else able to make her wise unto salvation. Ain't nothing else going to save that girl of yours, Stephen. Or that boy there, is he? Nothing. Have them here. But we have that down there. And you do. And I'm thankful. I'm glad. This is what the Lord commands us to do, that it may be well with that. Well, there's your boy, John. There he is. Did you resent it at one time, Dad making you go to church? Sure he did. There he sits, John, loving the gospel. The Lord's true to his word. He doesn't save all of them, but he'll honor his word. He's true to his word. All the commandments that the Lord thy God, that I command thee, observe to do, and you'll live. You've never enjoyed that son like you are now, have you? Never. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. My. A son and a brother. The greatest of blessings. All right, look at verse 13. Look on now. Here's a few more. We could keep reading. Verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Serve him. Fear. Serve. Shalt swear by his name. What that means is, you know, the Lord himself came down and said that. Thou shalt not swear by anything in earth or heaven. What he's saying here is like James said, we should say, the Lord willing. That's what it means. That's what he means there. Say, the Lord willing, we'll do such and such. That's what that means. I'm going to do that. Well, wait a minute. The Lord willing, I'll do that. Verse 14, you shall not, this is a commandment, you shall not go after other gods. Gods of the people round about you. There's no God, small g. Let them have them, huh, Joe? I'm not going after them. Well, if they're having a countywide meeting, religious meeting, all the churches are getting together. It's a praise Jesus movement. Let them have them. I don't want that old Jesus. I'm not going. Are you? That's exactly what this is talking. And a little more close, a little closer to home, though. He said that covetousness is idolatry. Going after anything or anyone instead of God. Let nothing become your God, even those children. Don't dare let the children keep you from worshiping God. All right. And the commandment, people, listen to this statement. Turn over to chapter 8 now. The commandment to leave all. Listen as I say this. The commandment to leave all and follow Christ is no less binding or demanding upon us than it was the apostles. Is it? No. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. We are. ministers of Him, stewards of His grace, and it is required of the steward he be found faithful. Now listen to this. Peter said, Lord, behold, we have forsaken all and followed Thee. What shall we have, therefore? Now, Peter kept his house. Remember? That's where his mom and his wife and his mother-in-law stayed. And they ate there. The Lord ate there quite a bit. He didn't say he sold his house, but he left it. It was as if he had forsaken it to follow Christ. He went with Him. And Christ said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, shall inherit everlasting life. Hundredfold. That's life more abundant. Isn't it? A hundredfold. And last but not least, last is first, in eternal life. Everlasting life. And so the commandment to leave all, and Christ said, except you forsake all that you have, follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Christ said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's no less binding on all of his disciples than it was the apostles. Was it? Is it? It's the cost of discipleship. That's the reason he tells us, sit down and count the cost. Are you willing to do without? You know, there's plenty of men out there, eligible bachelors. Are you willing to do without a husband? For a while, anyway. Maybe indefinitely. That you might marry your maker. Your maker is your husband. Are you willing to do without a wife? There's a lot more eligible ladies out there, John. A lot more. Are you willing to forsake a wife and to be married to Christ? He's a whole lot more faithful. And so on and so forth. We could go on and on with that. So the command to leave all and follow Christ is no less demanding or binding, but boy, he's a good master. He does not require of us more than he knows we're able. And he said, one of the old writers, Matthew Henry, is who said it. Matthew Henry said, and he's a liberal paymaster. He's a liberal paymaster. In other words, he pays big bonuses. the wages he gives for what little bit of labor or sacrifice in his service, he's a liberal paymaster. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wealth that can never be told. Someday we'll think we traded dung. What did we give up? Huh? What did we give up for that pearl of great price? Huh? Nothing. Zero. No. Trash. Dumb. That's what Paul said. I count it all, but it's dumb. Dumb. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And there's a man that really did. I mean, actually, literally. Did he suffer? Did he lose? Oh, my. And he doesn't require us necessarily to give everything away or all of it, but he comes first. In that sense, is that unreasonable? Oh, it's not reasonable, sir. Read verse 2. He said, Now thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. All the way the Lord hath led thee, Henry, these 60 years. going on 70. All the way the Lord has led thee these 50 some years. Going on 60. All the way the Lord has led thee. I'll call somebody else, Rebecca. These 40 years. Deborah. These 40 years, going on 41. All the way the Lord hath led thee, thou shalt remember. God led thee, he said, in the wilderness. These 40 years. This world is called a wilderness to God's people. It is. They say it's a jungle out there. It is. It's a wilderness. It's a desert place. Wherein is no water, no food for the spiritually hungry. But look at it. Read on. He says, he did this to humble you. He did this to humble thee. And it ought to, if we remember all the way he's led us, it'll humble us. Won't it? You think back on past mercies, Jeanette. Think back, Rebecca. Think back on your life. You're in that 40-something group. Think back to your past life, all the blessings of God. How he led you all this way. Giving you a husband that loves Christ. 4 fine children. Think back on it. All the way he's led you. It ought to humble you, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it? More than anything, shouldn't that humble us before God? Make us thankful. Because we know that none of us are worthy of it. Rebecca, why are you sitting there with healthy children and not down in Africa crying over your starving baby? God made you to differ. It ought to humble you, shouldn't it? And it has. To humble thee and to prove thee, read on, to prove thee to know what was in thine heart. What's in your heart? It better be the love of God shed abroad. That ought to create and magnify the love of God. Whether you, and this was proving it, this is proving it, prove you what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. You see that? Whether you'd keep his commandments or not. That's proof. He said prove the sincerity of your love, didn't he? Verse 3, and he humbled you and suffered thee to hunger. There was a time when everybody in here was without God, without Christ, without hope, without a knowledge of the gospel, hungry, starving in the wilderness, suffered you to hunger, and gave you a hunger, and you were hungry before you even knew it. Thought you were full. And then he gave you a hunger. What caused you to one day hunger after the truth? What caused you, Joe, to say, got to be something more than that when you were down at that other place? What caused you to sit on the bed? Remember that? You've told me that, Nancy. Joe came back from one of those Sunday night wrestling matches or whatever, business meeting, and sat on the bed and said, there's got to be something more than this. Caused you to hunger. Joe, there's some fellas that stayed there. There's some fellas still there. And satisfied. Who gave you the hunger? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, I'm going to fill them up. Does it get any better than this? Joe said, it's got to be better than this. Got to be something. Does it get any better than this? I don't see how it could this side of heaven. I really don't. It does. He suffered you to hunger, Joe. Why? Boy, that manna, look at it, and fed you with manna. God sent manna. What's this? That's what the word manna means. When that manna came, they said, what is it? That's what the word means in the Hebrew. Manna. They were asking a question, Stan. They weren't naming it. Manna. That's what they named it. Manna. When you heard the gospel for the first time, what's this new doctrine? Huh? What's this? And you say that, Henry? What is this? Manna. This is God's gospel. That's what this is. You ain't heard it before because God didn't send it yet. And now you get God's food, angels' food, which things the angels desire to look into. You get to eat it. And it said when they ate that manna, it was like a wafer. It was sweet to the taste. Manna. Gave you manna. Fed you with manna, which you knew not. See that? You knew not this manna. Neither did your fathers know. Did your father know this gospel, Henry? Your Joe? Terry? Your father know this gospel? Huh? John? Why you, John? Oh, forget not all his benefits. Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led. He set his love and affection on you. You a better man than your dad? Oh, my. Why you, John? Even so, Lord, it seemed good in thy sight. Sovereign mercy. No other answer is sovereign mercy. Sovereign grace. Fed you with manna you knew not, and your fathers didn't know. That he might know, make thee to know, read on. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Man doth not live by bread alone. Let me reread this article in the bulletin for you, okay? I think it's worth remembering. Someone commented on it, this article on our daily bread, last week's. Someone commented on it, and I just couldn't help but wonder to myself if they heard it, but I couldn't help wonder if they were doing it. If they actually were doing what's said. It sounds good, but it lives even better. We can live without bread for a day, yea, many days. Moses went 40 days without bread. Elijah went, our Lord went. In fact, there can be definite benefits from going without physical bread. But man can't live. We can't live without Christ, without feeding on the bread. You can't live, you just exist. You can exist without that bread, but you won't have abundant life. One can have no spiritual vitality, energy, or strength by going without his or her daily portion of manna. The manna of God's Word is a glorious gift, but it has to be gathered. You remember that? The manna came down. How'd they get it, Vicki? How'd they get it? Did it just come in their houses and fill up their plates? No. They went out and gathered it daily. One must glean for himself in Boaz's barley field. Ruth and Naomi would have gone hungry, wouldn't they? If Ruth hadn't gleaned in Boaz's barley field, then how much did she come home with? Oh, he's Boaz. It's Boaz's field we're talking about now. Just a little hunger is all it takes. A little bit of gleaning is all it takes to come home with a basket full. And Ruth will say, where'd you glean today? I think his name was Boaz. Sons of Jacob. Remember that story? Joseph's brethren. Our heavenly ruler's on the throne. And he's got some storehouses. We'll bring a little sack. He'll fill it. Our Lord feeds a little bird, doesn't he? Big birds. There's a bird feeder right outside my study window now. I just love to feed those birds. I just love to feed, with the exception maybe Molly. Watch her gulp that grain. I love to see those birds eating that food. It delights me. I don't mind a bit filling it up all the time. If they'll come and eat it, as much as they want to eat it, I'll fill it. I love to see them eat it. And what I get in turn, I enjoy them, and I hear a little song every now and then. It's says like this, say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Huh? The Lord said, open up your mouths and I'll fill them. I make much of this time together on the Lord's Day in the midweek service because we get a multi-course meal prepared, already prepared. Come, all we say is come and dine. All things are ready. But the rest of the time, day in and day out, we glean for ourselves. Do not wonder if we are weak and sickly without our daily bread. Do not wonder if we don't grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord without our daily bread. Do not wonder if we're weak in faith if we do not eat our daily bread. Faith cometh by what? The Word of God. The principal means of gathering God's Word is reading it. How do you gather God's Word? Read it. Son of man, take this roll and eat it. Isn't that what he said? Eat it. Take this roll and it should. And there are other ways, tapes. I just can't emphasize, tapes. But don't usurp. Many people do that, usurp the actual preaching of the tape message. Conversation with other brethren, fellowship with the saints, a good way. As long as the conversation at some point comes around to something profitable, it's a good way to gather a little manna. Because they've gathered something maybe you haven't. Let me show you something, brother, that I saw or listen to this, what I heard. Gather something, somebody hand feeds you. So do as the Lord taught us and start each day by asking. Lord, teach us to pray, all right? Pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. Not bread alone. Man doesn't live by that. But by every word. You see that? I'm not talking about Terry. Christ wasn't talking about bread, was he, in John 6? I'm talking about him. And who is he? He's the Word incarnate. Be ye hearers of that Word and doers. Okay? Doers. Eat that manna. Eat it. Man lives. You'll live. You'll live. And multiply. People, listen. God's sheep hear his voice. What is God's voice? He said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear it. They love to hear it. They've got to hear it. What is his voice? It's his word. He said, and they follow me. He said, and he makes them lie down in green pasture. Makes them lie down. He leadeth them beside the still water. What's the next line? That's how you restore your soul. Huh? He's a good shepherd. That's how your soul is restored. How? He makes you lie down in green pasture. Martha, Martha. He makes you lie down in green pasture. Still waters. He restoreth my soul. I need daily restoration. Don't you? Daily restoration. Or I'll become shipwrecked. This old ship needs restoration every day. Every day. All right. Fellowship. Fellowship. I have to do this. I've been wanting to use this verse of Scripture for a while. Ezekiel 33. Turn over there. Ezekiel 33. Turn over there. Ezekiel 33. Our Lord said, over in Luke chapter 6, listen. Listen as I read this. You find Ezekiel 33. Our Lord said in Luke 6, He said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you who this man is like. Whoever hears them and does them, I'll show you who this man is like." He said, he's like a man which built a house. Now, the Scriptures talks about building up yourselves on this most holy faith, doesn't it, John? He's like a man which built a house and digged deep. He digged deep. You know what that's talking about, Rick, don't you? Dig deep. Where are we digging? Where are we digging? Where are we digging? He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. You know how many yards of concrete are in that footer under that study? 12. 12 yards. We kept digging with that backhoe, digging, try to find some solid ground. Couldn't find it. Digging, that's Phil back there, Joe. Y'all know that, don't you? It's Phil. We kept digging, finally found some, but it's on a rock. This building may fall, but it's going to stay. It's on a rock. Well, he said, man that digs deep, deeper the foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for Jesus for refuge have fled? Dig deep. Your foundation will stand sure. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. And he's a rock, but you dig deep. The best rocks, the diamonds, are in the deepest mines. Coal, you don't get a lot strip mining. But boy, in those deep shafts, you get bucket loads. Rich veins. Dig deep, Christ said. He dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock when the flood arose. That's trials from here. The flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently on that house. Trials and troubles beat that house. Could not shake it. Why? Found it on a rock. My hope is built on nothing less. Dig deep. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. Built a house on the earth. Stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. First big trial comes along. Ooh. Gone. Dig deep. Search the Scripture. Study to show yourself approved. Foundation. Ezekiel 33, and this is such a... Oh, my. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. A son of man, and I really believe this is talking about Christ more than just a preacher. He was a preacher. Son of man, the children, Ezekiel 33, verse 30. The children of thy people still are talking against thee or about thee by the walls and in the doors of the house. Boy, he's a good preacher. Wasn't that a good message? Speaking one to another, every one to his brothers, come, I pray you, hear what's the word that cometh forth from the Lord, and they come unto thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show me thee much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, can play well on an instrument. They hear thy word, but they do them not. That's sad, isn't it? all the commandments which I command thee this day. Moses was a man. Scripture says he was the meekest man on earth. But he stood up. If any man speak, they speak as the oracles of God. Isn't that what it said? Moses said, "No, y'all listen to me." They said, "Who are you think you are, Moses?" "I'm nothing. I'm nothing." "Who you think you are, John?" "I'm just a voice, but this is what God said. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live. That you may live and multiply. And go in and possess the land. Possess the land." All right, let's go on. There's good things in here. Isn't it? Look at verse 4. "Remember now all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee and suffered thee to hunger, but fed you with manna." Verse 4, "Your raiment waxed not old." Oh, you know what that's talking about, don't you? Huh? Your raiment, what you clothed in, what you wearing, Stan? A nice jacket, Stan. I like that jacket. Like my jacket? It's going to rot. It's going to rot, and Mindy and Sherry and I want to take that, get you another. It's going to rot, all right? But if you're wearing one, that's eternal. That's the robe of Christ's righteousness. It won't wax old. I tell you what, the older you get, the more you appreciate it. The better it'll fit. Huh, Joe? Is it fitting better now than it was 10 years ago? Fits you better. Fits you better. It wax not old either. Is this just getting old to you? Old hat? You know, an old hat really is the most comfortable. I use that statement all the time. I've got an old hat. You don't. All your hats are brand new. I want one of them. No, maybe you do. Henry does. I've seen one of his old hats. But I've got an old hat that Henry probably wouldn't even wear. I got it in Mexico. It's one of those hats that those men down there wear. Every one of the men, Mayan Indians, wear that hat down there. You see it, haven't you, Rick? That straw hat, it's all eaten up. I don't want to part with it. It's like wearing air. And it's got ventilation. Old hat. I'm not tired of that old hat. It's getting more and more comfortable. More and more comfortable. The gospel getting like an old hat in that good sense. It wears well. All this talk of Christ's robe of righteousness, is it getting old? Oh, it's not getting old. This coat here, Barbara and Charles gave me this coat about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know where they got it. It wasn't new. It was used. Somebody else broke it in for me. But it's been so comfortable. The only navy blazer I have, and I appreciate it. But really, it's the best one I've got. Most comfortable. And I'll tell you something more comfortable than that. A lot more. The righteousness of Christ gives me more comfort now than it ever has. It comforted my old sinful heart when I first heard about it. And boy, now, boy, Heidi. My dad used to say, "Boy, Heidi." Now, as I've sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned, like these Jews in the wilderness provoked him, this old robe is not waxing old. It's wearing well. I'm going to wear it all the way into heaven, folks. It's how I'm going to get in. It's the dress code of heaven, isn't it? Same robe I'm wearing now is what I'm going to wear then. It doesn't show right now. It's going to show then. That's the right thing. And look at this. It said, "Neither did your foot swell these 40 years. You know what that's talking about. What are you wearing on your feet? What are you wearing? I've got a pair of shoes here, and I bought these off of Barbara Ross, too. And a leg of Barbara. Every pair of shoes I own except one I bought from Barbara. But these are the only pair of dress shoes I have, and they wear well. Old wing tips. They may be out of style and old-fashioned, but they wear well. They're comfortable. My feet don't swell. They fit the leather. Good, real good pair of shoes is leather. They bind your feet in real good. Keep them from swelling. And my feet hadn't swelled yet. Well, Paul said in Ephesians 6, he said that we need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod with it. Shod with it. Walk in it. Walk by faith in it. In this gospel of Christ. Your feet won't swell. And your head won't either. Your feet won't swell. These shoes are wearing well, aren't they? Isn't this gospel wearing well? Can't you walk more comfortably in it? Doesn't it give a little spring to your step? The good news of Christ, sovereign grace and mercy, doesn't it? Blood, righteousness. Feet don't swell. Gospel still fits. It's the same size, too, to begin with. Same size. All right, read on. Verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. If we be without it, we're as bastards. And we sure need it, don't we? We sure need it. Paul told young Timothy, he said, now, you reprove and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Because the word, all scripture is given by, and Timothy, your word is inspiration of God, and all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. I need correcting. Oh, how I need correcting. Oh, how I need correct. We were doing something the other night, weren't we? Putting some printed matter together, and what do we keep saying? What do we keep hollering for? You remember, Pastor? Give me the white out. Huh, Rebecca? Anybody that types know what white out is, don't they? Huh? Sherry? That's the white out. Give me that white out. Yeah, computers. Give me that white out. It's a bad blot here. Isn't that what we say, sinner? Give me some of that white out. Oh, my. Give me some more of that blood. That righteousness, that white out. Blot out my transgression. Blot out my transgression. Chasten me, Lord. I need it. I don't like to read verses of Scripture like Ezekiel 33, but do we need that? I need it. He chastens you as son. If you be without it, you're a bastard. He'll leave you alone. I don't chasten my neighbor's kids. I don't chase them. Leave them alone. But I chase them out. All right, read on. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and fear him. Walk. Fear him. That word's all through Scripture. Fear him. For the Lord thy God brings thee into a good land. Read on. A land of brooks of water. Water. Land of water, fountains, depths that spring out of valleys and hills, wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, bread without scarceness. Where is this land? Where has he led us? Is this talking about heaven? We're in that Canaan land. It's where he led you. Remember, Nancy Parks, all the way your Savior led you from being a self-righteous religious woman, lost as a goose in a snowstorm, and brought you into fair Canaan and fed you olive oil, honey, water, bread without scarcity. You ever missed a meal? You ever failed to get something, bread here, bread. You did there, didn't you? Remember, don't forget. You. Don't forget. You did not leave you to yourself. You
Don't forget. You. Me. Now look at what will cause it. This is what will cause us to forget. Verse 10. When we eat and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. When we're eating and full. Maybe that's the way we ought to pray at meals after we eat. Maybe. I don't know. That's what it says here. Nevertheless, you know, folks, the time to worship God is a time of prosperity, isn't it? Everyone in here is prospering. Yeah. This is time more than any other than we ought to be worshiping, shouldn't we? And we are. Here we are. I'm glad. I'm thankful. We ought to be. It's our reasonable service, shouldn't we? Psalm 107, he says it four times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wondrous works to the children of men. But do you remember, John, where it says that they got down bad in trouble and then they called on the Lord? Remember that? It says that four times. They got in a bad way, they forgot him, and then they called and he answered them. And he does. That's who he is. He's faithful. Faithful God. But now's the time to bless him. Isn't it? Now's the time to bless him. Boy, that grass is growing out there. You know, it's never failed, Henry. When I plant grass, I used your thing the other day, and I'll get it back to you. Oh. I've got his cultivator. I've had it for 100 years. But I'm going to get it back to you. But my grass is growing, Henry. It's never failed. And a fellow said to the other, Vicky, he said, it's not a good time to plant, didn't it? That's what he said. He's an old dairy farmer. He said, not a good time to plant now. My grass is growing like weeds. Why? This has been the best grass growing weather, Stan, hasn't it? It's just been pouring. It's just been raining. Cool evening. Sun come out. Nothing better for grass than that. And I may have green pastures out there. We do have green pastures. Cool. And we're thankful. We're thankful. And this is a time to be thankful, isn't it? Remember who gave it to us. That's what it's all about. Got a good job. Boy, the money's rolling in, the jobs and offers and things. I'm prospering and got a new car now. Woo, man, I'll be there first on Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Right? Read on. Beware, verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, not keeping his commandments. Lest, verse 12, when thou hast eaten and are full, built good houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and flocks multiply, silver and gold, your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord thy God that brought thee out. And I asked you, I told you, I gave you an assignment last Sunday morning, I believe it was, to read Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. And I went back and read it all myself, and as you can see, I've got all those verses, several verses written down. We don't have time to look at them. But they're a perfect, relevant, what's the word? They perfectly apply to us now. Hebrews 2, 3, and 4, and all the way through the end, warns us that the same thing will happen to us as it did the children of Israel. That is not one whit different. Same thing will happen to us as it did. None of them will go in. None of them will go in if we forget the Lord and leave off doing his commandments, which is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and worship him. Number one. Let us fear. We read that this morning, didn't we? Let us fear that there be a promise left of us, any of you, any of us that seem to come short of it. Boy, he was close. So many years. He followed. We've seen him, haven't we? Since I've been here, I've seen some older folk. We got close. In verses 19 and 20 there, it says, lest you perish like the world did. And it'll be worse, John. The end will be worse for us than it will be. You know what? It'll be worse for you than it will the harlot in the street. That's right. Serious, isn't it? This thing, what we're doing, is very serious. Very serious. Very serious. That's a good passage, though, in Deuteronomy 8. Fed you with manna. Your clothes didn't rot. Your feet didn't sweat. But remember, forget not all his benefits. Oh, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me and cause me not to forget. All right, I had a hymn picked out, Sherry. Where is it? Number 514. And you got to stand in order to march, don't you? 514. Let's sing a couple of these. Listen to the words now.
Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. And thus surround.
Can you imagine surrounding that throne? We're marching to Zion. Sing this now, because I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, either have entered into the hearts the things that God had prepared for them that love Him. When we stand around that throne, it's going to be deafening. How can we be singing, no marching, as I would say we're here? Well, let those who refuse to sing, who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad. All right, let's verse 3. I like this verse. Let's sing that.
The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweet. Before we reach the heavenly field, oh, walk the golden streets, oh, walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Sing this with a smile on your face.
Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's land. We're marching through Emmanuel's realm to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high.
Sing it!
We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city.
Heavenly Father, put us in that way. Put us in our feet in that path. That straight gate and narrow way. Put my feet. Put John's feet. Put Heather's feet. Put Henry's feet. Put Roberta's feet. Put Rebecca's feet. Put Joe's feet. Put Nancy's feet. Put Stan's feet. Put our children's feet. Shod us with the gospel. Put us, lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, for your glory and honor, that we may one day sing with the saints this glorious song unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood. Is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.